Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station with coaches Wendy, Krista, and Shermin. Our goal is to search out and share with you the latest news about how to become and stay empowered to make the most transformative lifestyle or business building choices. For 30 minutes, each Monday at 12 noon U.S. Eastern Time, you will have the opportunity to hear inspiring interviews with coaches specializing in a variety of life-transforming areas. It is our intent to provide you a once-a-week break of inspiration to carry you throughout your week. Your co-hosts are Wendy, who is a business transformation coach, Krista, who is a healthy lifestyle coach, and Shermin, who is a success coach. It is important to know that all of the concepts and information presented during any of our shows are for educational purposes only. They are not intended to guarantee results of any kind. Please consult with professionals before embarking on any lifestyle or business-related changes. Again, welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another week's episode of Sky's the Limit Radio. This is Krista, one of your co-hosts, and I'm here today with our other co-host, Shermin. Hello, Shermin.
Hello, Krista. This is Shermin, and a warm welcome to everyone else out there.
We are delighted to have Rachel Astarte as a guest on our show today. Rachel is a certified life coach and couples therapist in training, specializing in intimacy and spirituality development for couples and individuals. She's also the author of Celebrating Solitude, How to Discover and Honor Your Highest Self. And she's currently a featured author for Elephant Journal, home to her relationship advice column, Let's Get Intimate. So welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, Rachel. It's lovely to have you on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me, both Krista and Shermin. Sorry to hear Wendy's not joining us today, but it's great to speak to both of you.
Sorry about Wendy's absence today, and we hope that she's feeling better soon.
Definitely.
But I think we will have to soldier on, and so let's just jump right in with some questions, Rachel.
Sure.
How about Shermin? Do you have the first question?
Yes, I do. I can't wait to go deep, Rachel. I love the title. So I'm wondering, how did you get interested in relationships and intimacy, the topic of today's show? Well, as often happens with anything that we're greatly interested in, I was interested in relationships from a very, very young age. I, like everyone else, read a lot of fairy tales and loved the stories of true love and chivalry and princesses and princes. And I began to realize that a lot of these wonderful stories that I was hearing as a child really didn't play out in reality in terms of what it really means to be in relationship with someone. And that intrigued me immensely, and it became sort of a life's quest to understand how two psyches can come together in a romantic relationship and make it work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's there's so much stuff out there about this. So like we were talking about before the show started, how there's so much information, and it is such an interesting and intriguing subject, and you just don't even know what's true and what's not anymore. And everybody's so unique, so relationships are so unique as well. So this is awesome. Let's continue on. Krista, you have the number one question. Go for it.
Yes, that's the number one question. So, Rachel, why is sex so important in a relationship, both for individuals and for couples? Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. Well, it
sexuality is a really broad subject, and I appreciate you bringing up the difference between individuals and couples. Sex is important even to individuals, if you're in relationship or not. Sexuality is a vital aspect of our character, and I liken it to great creativity. So when we think about sex, we often think about the act of sex, but I tend to expand that in my definition to say, what is your vital force of creativity? So when we think about sex that way, obviously you can create another human being with your sexuality, but you can also create a livelier self with your sexuality, whether you tend to do that alone. I certainly do. I'm a proponent of solitude and having a solitary life, so a lot of my work does not necessarily imply that you must be in relationship to be sexual and intimate. And also, certainly, same-sex couples fit into this category as well, where you're not necessarily having sex for procreative purposes, but you are creating a vitality in yourself and ideally with your partner. So almost everyone has heard that sex is a form of communication, and that is a very, very, very true and I see that a lot in relationships. I think it's also very important to point out that there are certainly healthy relationships that are not sexual, but they are intimate. And that's also something that's a distinction that I think is very important. So there is no right and wrong. What's very important and why sex or intimacy is so important in life is because it is a way to get in touch with our deepest self, the self that is not defined by society, the part of us that is ancient and innate, that we have a great sense of connection to life itself through the way that we make love to ourselves, to our partners, and how we show up in the world with that vitality and creativity.
That's interesting. So, is there a relationship between sex and spirituality?
I would definitely say so. One of the easiest ways to get in touch with your spirit is to perform an act of love, whether that's with yourself or with someone else, and intimacy. And of course, there are many kinds of love. But since we're talking about sex here, I'll keep it relating to sex. And so, yes, I think you, when you are in that transcendent place of sexuality, when you're not trying to be anyone, when you have surrendered to your pleasure, surrendered to your partner, and given yourself the freedom to be vulnerable, what you're actually doing is letting spirit in, whatever that means to you. But it's the connection to the creative life force that's around us.
Right. Now, that's very profound. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another question?
Yeah, I'm wondering, because you write this column, which is such an interesting column that you write. You've written about the number one thing we can do to attract a mate, right? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. And I get a lot of questions about that. What am I doing wrong? Why am I still single? You know?
Right.
The number one thing that we can do to attract a mate is to live. And that sounds really simple, but it's super hard. As anyone who has been human for any period of time could tell you, it's not an easy path. And what I mean by live is to be on your own path. To finding the ways to be the best human being you can be. And the reason I point this out and why it may seem so simple is because when we are faced with trying to find a mate, we tend to figure out, what are the things that are attractive? How can I shift who I am to be more attractive to a potential partner? And that, I believe, is the first mistake that we make. It's a great thing to be aware of others around us. It's not a great thing to suppress the self in order to attract a mate. So when I say the number one thing that we can do to attract a mate is to live and be our authentic selves, what I mean by that is do your work. Be fully human. Be flawed. Be on the path to being the best person you can be. And because we are all on some path, the fact that you are your own hero or heroine in your myth is extremely attractive to another human being, because what you will be attracting or what will be attractive about you is your authenticity. And there's nothing sexier than that.
I so agree. What is attractive is your authenticity. I think that we've all fallen into this sometimes, sometime or another, probably more than once, that you try to be who you think the other would want you to be in order to be attractive. And it's actually to be oneself, to be the best you, which only you can do, is what.
Right, and I want to elaborate a little bit on that. I want to clarify that being aware of what other people think of you is a healthy thing. You don't want to be locked up in a box saying, okay, well, I'm who I am and everybody else can take a hike. You want to be receptive to people who are trying to help you on your path. Ultimately, though, it's your journey. And so it's really important to note that compromise or adjustments are really healthy, but never stop being truthful to yourself. And that's the thing that I think is a really important clarification.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's that self-consciousness that often gets in the way, our second-guessing ourselves and doubting ourselves. And that's an important distinction, that compromise and adjusting to other people, of course, is a good thing, can be a very good thing. But
right.
Not having to second-guess and question ourselves and be able to truly be ourselves, which is always the most attractive. I so agree with that. Krista?
Yeah, I agree. Even with our faults, like you said, vulnerability is an important aspect of that as well.
Yeah.
So Rachel, you already mentioned one of the things that we can do to keep a relationship healthy. Are there any other things that you can mention?
Yeah. If you're in a relationship, the one thing that I believe is the most important to keeping a relationship healthy is kindness. And kindness can be shown in many different ways. Kindness is not just doing things for your partner, but kindness is also knowing when to step back and let your partner be on his or her path too. I think that a lot of couples get into the sticky area where they feel like if their partner is going through a problem, that they have to try to fix it, or they have to try to support it, or even worse, see that problem as a tragic flaw in their partner. And kindness kind of goes out the window a little bit. Then it's all about fixing it, and let's get you into therapy, and let's talk, let's fix. And kindness in this case is to recognize when your partner is struggling, and to hold space for your partner, not try to fix it, not as best you can, not get triggered by their pain. And to be a friend and to be supportive and say, listen, I may not be able to help you, but I want you to know that I'm here for you if you want me here, you know, and if not, I'm still here, but I'm just going to be sitting over there a few feet away, you know what I mean, that you're not abandoned. There's a kindness in that. And there are also daily kindnesses, looking out for each other, checking in with each other. That's, making sure that you don't take each other for granted is a kindness that that when we maintain that, it keeps the relationship fresh. It keeps the relationship respectful because you understand that you and your partner are constantly changing and constantly growing. And to give each other space to do that, I think, is the ultimate kindness. And that's a real aid in keeping a relationship healthy.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's very important. That's why being controlling is like one of the worst things that destroys a relationship. If one is trying to be more controlling of the other, not giving the partner enough space. And also, I like the idea of the definition. One definition of kindness is that you respect the other, the partner, and not take them for granted or her. Checking in with them, letting them know, you know, if you're running late, things like that. Just, you know, respecting them. I think that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what happens in many relationships is that you tend to say, all right, so I found my soulmate. We can settle into the couch, and that's it. We're locked in. Instead of realizing that you both are individual human beings on your own trajectory, and ideally your trajectory is heading in the same direction, but how you get there will be different for each individual. So to know when to step back and to know when to say, my partner's problem is not my fault, it's not my place to fix it. If there's a problem in the relationship, in the interactions of the relationship, then certainly you can address your part in it. But to understand that the path that we're on, the things that we need to work on in our lives are very individual. So the best partner you can be is the partner who says, I'm here for you and I respect you on your journey, but it's not my responsibility to fix you.
Yeah, that's very important, very important. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Jamin, do you have another question?
So speaking, Rachel, of your column, as I mentioned before, what is the most common question that you actually get asked in your column? Is it about this stuff that we're talking about, or is it something entirely different?
It's an offshoot of what we're talking about. Unfortunately, the biggest or the most common question that I get is how to get over an ex, how to move on when a relationship has not worked. I find that there's a lot of trauma around trying to make sense of why a romantic relationship didn't, quote unquote, work. And I put it in quotes because my argument may well be that the relationship did work exactly as it was meant to, that you received the lessons that you needed to receive, each of you, and the relationship then sort of metamorphosed into something else that wasn't romantic. If we handle breakups in a respectful and compassionate way, then I believe that that it's much healthier to say, okay, this thing didn't work out because of where we are on our paths in life, and we're not seeing eye to eye, and we're not able to support each other in a healthy way. So we can't be a romantic couple, but I can still be supportive, and I can still wish that person well, or wish that person finds the happiness that that he or she is looking for. And we do that, again, this comes back to the beginning of our interview, when we have a solid sense of self, when we have, when we are living our authentic lives, then a breakup isn't so heartbreaking as it is disappointing. You know, well, I really thought this thing was going to work, but I can see that for my partner's health and my health, it's not going to. But let's let that relationship be what it's meant to be, whether it's friends, whether we don't speak to each other again, but we just wish each other well on our paths, then it's a lot easier to negotiate a breakup. What I find with the clients who and the callers and the people who write in that I deal with are this pain of loss and what did I do wrong? What could I have fixed? Or just I miss this person's body. I miss what I got used to. And it's very hard to see that that you will have that again, but with the right person next time. So, you know, that's why I think being able to rely on the self, especially during a breakup, is so important. What were you receiving from that partner that you might be able to actually give yourself in the meantime until you find the right person, if you find the right person? You know, so if we ask, well, was it intimacy? Was it just I miss someone calling me up in the day and looking after me? Well, then check in with yourself during the day. How are you? I actually will do that for myself. Sometimes 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I get some work done, and I have a down moment, and I say, well, how are you doing to myself? You know, are things all right? Let's just check in. When we treat ourselves with that kind of loving respect, almost the way a partner would, we can help ourselves through a lot of emotional pain that might come from a relationship breaking up.
Yeah, that's so true too. And what I ask often is, you know, who were you allowing yourself to be when you were with this person that, you know, you felt so different with? I think you know, we don't pay attention to how we change or how we allow ourselves to feel differently in the presence of this person, and now that that person isn't there anymore, what, you know, what am I shutting down, or what are we shutting down in ourselves as a result that we could continue to keep alive or, you know, stay in touch with? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and sometimes, and I get the other end of that. It's like if we were our wonderful selves with a partner, then it's easier to tap into that wonderful self even though that partner isn't there anymore because it's fresh. But I also see the flip side of that, which is I don't like who I was in that relationship. So that's just as important a question to ask yourself. What wasn't working? Who were you trying to be? And why? And once you can answer these questions, what wasn't gelling and connecting with this other human being, and how can you make sure that doesn't happen again?
Very important. Very important. Yeah, great. I'm glad you added that. Very important. Krista.
Yeah, so Rachel, let's change course a little bit and talk about your coaching programs and sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the typical length of time that a client needs to see you for coaching sessions?
Well, it depends on what they're looking for. If I have a client who needs sort of a quick fix, right? I'm in a lot of pain. I need to talk to somebody. I need to be able to not obsessively think about my ex, or I need to reawaken my sense of self. Then one session, we can certainly get you out of the rut, right? So that's a minimum. But what we're doing there is putting a Band-Aid on the problem. We're putting a Band-Aid on the cut, but we're not going to necessarily prevent you from getting cut again. So it's what in therapy we talk about the difference between first order change and second order change. So a couple of sessions we can get you to a first order change where we're fixing what's wrong on the surface, yeah? But more time is needed to look at why those patterns are occurring and how to prevent them from occurring in the future. So that takes more time to get to a second order change where we're fixing the entire system, not just the problem itself. So depending on what the situation is, if I'm working with clients or couples, I could do a very detailed package in 1 to 4 sessions where we can get through one topic that you guys are having trouble with or that you're having trouble with yourself, and we can definitely get you in the right direction. But if you're looking to change the way that you show up in the world, in relationships, or looking to enhance your ability to feel intimately or work sexually and tap into that energy, find out where your blocks are, that takes longer, and that could be indefinite, really. It's an ongoing thing.
Okay, and so you have like weekly sessions with your clients?
Yes, I predominantly, my clients come once a week and on occasion once every other week, but it's a regular ongoing process. And I meet clients online or in my office. So that way, you know, some people are actually more comfortable doing online sessions because they don't have to leave their home. They're in a comfortable place, and we can work that way. Also, if I do any guided meditations during our sessions, it's great because they can just lie on their couch or their bed or wherever they are, and it's very comfortable for them.
Right. Yeah. And you mentioned you have an office, so where is your office located?
I have two. I have one in Rockland County, New York, and I have another in New York City.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. So, Sherman, I think you have another question about the programs.
Yeah, just that, you know, you're talking about a meeting online and you have an office face-to-face, Rachel, it sounds like, mm-hmm. and then I hear something about guided meditation, and you mentioned mm-hmm. some things like that. What type of programs or workshops specifically are you currently offering to your clients? Could you give us a little bit more detail about that?
Sure. You know, where it pertains to this topic, let's get intimate topic, I usually have sessions that focus on intimacy and focus on communication with couples. And depending on what they need, if they want to just come in for regular couples coaching, that can be, as I said, anywhere from 1 to infinite number of sessions. But I do offer more condensed workshop-type situations where you might have up to 4 sessions where, if I'm working with couples, we will look at the number one issue that they are trying to work on. And within 4 sessions, we try to get to the bottom of what it is that's causing that conflict. What we find, and this is true with individuals as well, is that a lot of the conflicts that couples have come from an emotional base within the individual. In other words, when someone feels unheard, unloved, brings back childhood memories of being treated poorly, something our partner says that may be completely innocent triggers that pain. And so a lot of times couples will begin to have conflict around that. So we work on that in about 4 sessions, and guided meditation is part of that. Couples meditating together is a wonderful way to connect. With individuals, it's the same thing. We might look at what's holding you back in your relationships or your ability to have them, and how to proceed, what needs to be touched in you so that you can touch others with your best self.
Awesome, awesome. And so what is the best way for people to get in touch with you if, you know, what you've mentioned here resonates with them and they want to see if they can do some work with you?
Please go to my website, healingartsnewyork.com. It's healingartsnew and York, all spelled out, healingartsnewyork.com. And that has all of the information about what I offer, as well as a very convenient place to drop me a line, set up an appointment. And that's really the easiest way to get in touch with me. You can also reach me by email at rachel@healingartsnewyork.com.
Fantastic, healingartsnewyork.com. That's wonderful, Rachel. We can speak for a long time, but unfortunately we're getting to the end of our time.
I see.
Krista?
Yes, I think this is a very important topic, and I'm sure we could continue our conversation. So we hope that you will come back another time, excuse me, so that we can continue
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's great. So we'll invite you back as soon as we have another opening.
Wonderful.